Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
Good morning. It is such a delight for us to be with you today, and I just wanted to greet you. We are now living in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Originally, we met and married and raised our family in the state of Maine, and we were there until just 12 years ago. And then the Lord called us out, and we turned our pastorate over to a young couple. Maybe some of you have heard of Shannon and Jamie Dixon. They are pastoring in our building, and what an amazing thing the Lord is doing there in the state of Maine. And you know, a lot is going on in New England that you don't really hear about, but God is moving. And we are excited for the pockets of revival that are happening. And we're believing the Lord to continue to move by His Spirit. So I just wanted to welcome, say hello to you this morning, and tell you how much it means to us to be with you. We're so excited to see the growth that is happening in this place, and we've prayed for this with your pastor for many, many years. And it's not just about numbers, but we can sense the presence of God is increasing and going deeper and wider, and your lives are being enriched and changed. And we sense the presence of God and the goodness of God in each one of your lives. So for those of you that haven't had a chance to say hello to, hello. And we will be seeing you again, I know. But thank you for having us. Thank you for blessing us, Hannah and Brian, and all of the elders and leadership team. We are truly blessed to be here. We feel refreshed already from last night and coming into this morning. So Rich is going to be preaching. You are going to receive, I know, from the table of the Lord today as he shares the word of God. And I understand that you're in a series about God's goodness, and that is a great topic because we never can really grasp the greatness of how good he is. And so it's a lifetime of exploring and receiving. And so I just bless you today that you would receive the word of the Lord with joy. Amen.
Thank you, honey. It is a great subject, and I would highly recommend Bill Johnson's God is Good. I'm going to touch on a few theological things today, but he really dives into it. It's a great book to answer your questions. Also, another great book, Now is the Time, by Rich Brink, and it's about seven emerging signs of the third great awakening that are happening. You know, the first great awakening, most people think it just exploded with Jonathan Edwards in Massachusetts in 1734, but actually it started in New Jersey 15 years earlier, and there's all kinds of documentation for that, and it finally exploded in Philadelphia in 1740 with George Whitefield. But I believe we're already in the third great awakening. It's already emerging, and I've got seven different evidences of that, which I'm going to go deeper this year in my thesis about. But anyway, it's available back there if you'd want a copy, and it's online also on Amazon. Amazon is everywhere. I know it's amazing they can put so much stuff and merchandise out of the jungle down there in South America. It boggles my mind. Well, we're going to look at Psalm 34 and verse 8 in particular, which has to do with taste and see that the Lord is good. And, you know, really, you have to experience Jesus to really know how good he is. You can't just intellectually, you know, think about him. You actually have to experience him. And in the Passion Translation, it actually says, drink deeply of the pleasures of God. Experience for yourself the joyous mercies he gives to all who turn to him. And so, yeah, you can't say enough about his goodness. He's better than you think he is. Can you say that to your neighbor? He's better than you think he is. And one guy found out in particular because he couldn't have any kids, and he was just crying out to God, oh, God, I so want children. And he took a trip to Israel, and he came back, and all of a sudden, you know, they got pregnant and pregnant and pregnant, and they had seven kids, you know, in 7 years. And so he told his wife, he says, I got to go back to Israel. I got to go back to Israel. Why, honey? I've got to take that prayer sheet out of the wailing wolf that I wanted all those kids. So he's better than you think. So God is good, and his goodness is Jesus. The Father sent his Son to show us how good the Father was. And even when Jesus came to Bethlehem, the angels sang out peace and goodness to mankind. It was a sign that this is what goodness really looks like in this baby in Bethlehem. I've got three scriptures that are kind of the basis for what I'm preaching today. I'm not going to take the time to quote them all, but you can look at them later. I'm going to use the Brink translation with this here. Hebrews 1, chapter verse 3, it just says that Jesus is the exact expression of God. The Father is invisible, but when Jesus came, he actually gave a face to the goodness of God. And he displayed the glory and the wonder of God as a mirror image of who God really is. So you want to know who the Father is? Look at Jesus. As a matter of fact, at the Last Supper, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And Philip said, just show us the Father and we'll be satisfied. And he said, Philip, how long have you been with me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, I'm what God looks like. And everything that Jesus did expressed who God really is. In John 10:10, you know, it's a famous scripture. It says, for I have come to give you life and more abundantly. The thief, darkness comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the reason our world's so messed up today, is because of darkness. But Jesus came to set us free from all darkness and to give us a life that's free and abundant and full of life. Another great scripture is Luke 11:11, where he talked about what a good father is. You know, even earthly fathers don't give a snake, you know, to their kids. They give good things. They give good gifts. And he said, how much more does your heavenly Father want to give you the Holy Spirit and every good thing? How many of you know that the Holy Spirit's about the best gift you could ever get, right? My 20th birthday, I got the best gift you could ever get, best gift of my life. It didn't look that way at the time because my girlfriend broke up with me. The Lord... The Lord told me later it was the best day of my life, so because she was coming. But at the time, it seemed pretty awful, and here I was up at forestry camp in Maine. My parents weren't around. I didn't get any presents for my birthday. It was a really depressing birthday in a lot of ways. So I decided, well, I'll go to church. Went down to Bangor to this worship service, and the Holy Spirit was just moving in a great way. And for the first time as a Methodist, I put my hands up in the air. Very dangerous to do that, by the way, because when I put my hands up in the air to praise, all of a sudden my belly started bubbling. Something was going on inside my innermost being. And when I went back to the dorm, it got worse. It was like I couldn't stop praising him, and my roommate was staring at me like, what is going on with you? So as a forestry major, I went out under a hemlock tree. I figured that's a place to be. And so under that hemlock tree, I just began to worship. And I said, Lord, you know I'm a Methodist. I don't understand anything about this tongue stuff or anything, but if it's real, I want it. And I started speaking in a heavenly language under that hemlock tree. God gave me the best birthday present ever on my 20th birthday. Yay, give the Lord a hand for that. So God is good all the time, and he loves everyone. Does that mean that everybody's going to heaven? Not necessarily, because Jesus loved us so much to warn us about hell. Think about that. So it is a bad place. He didn't want anybody to go there. But I believe he gives everyone a choice, everybody an opportunity to take that choice of going to heaven. And a lot of people ask questions about evil and disease. And do bad things happen to good people? Yes, they do. The very first book of the Bible was about that. The book of Job, which is the oldest book, was all about this whole thing. But Job was not a typical case. He was a type of Jesus Christ, where a totally innocent person was attacked and given free rein against him. But Job still believed God. And he came out through that season. Everybody has seasons of trials. But guess what? God's going to bring you out of that season. And Job came out with twice as much as he had before. And so I want to encourage you today, if you're going through a Job season, you're going to come out with increase. And not only that, there's going to be more glory all over you when you come out the other side. Amen? Thank you, Lord. And so God is sovereign. But he gives us free choice. He gives us free will because he knew that love requires choice. He knows he didn't want us to be AI. He didn't want us to be robots. He wanted us to have emotions and choice and choose to love God. And there's nothing like somebody choosing to love God and living faithfully for Jesus Christ and that he would have a friend. And back in 1972, I was putting off making a choice. You know, you got to take that leap of faith, right? And I was afraid to make that leap. But I was invited to a conference with InterVarsity, and it was a huge sign up on the wall, not to decide is to decide. Hit me between the eyes. And I said, that's exactly me right there. And I gave my heart to the Lord a month later. So that was, thank God that poster was there. You know, God in his love had it there. So God doesn't bring disease. He doesn't bring evil into our lives. The devil brings that stuff, right? That's important to know. God is good. The devil is bad. Simple as that. In fact, I had this thing where I had a bad knee. I got run over by a go-kart. It's kind of a long story, but... Anyways, I suffered with it. I had terrible knee surgery when I was a junior in high school. But, you know, God used it, brought me closer to God and all that. So I was explaining that one day to this preacher, this lady preacher, and she said, oh, so you're saying that your bad knee helped you spiritually? And I said, well, yeah, I think it did. Well, what we need to do is pray right now that God destroys your other knee so you'll really get close to God. And it was like it blew off this lie that God destroyed my knee, you know. And so, anyway, that's for somebody here today. So we must taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Not just know about it, but taste and see the goodness of God. Yay. You know, I grew up in church. I heard all about the goodness of God. And intellectually, I knew about Jesus, and I was confirmed at 12. I was sprinkled at 3 weeks. I had all the yes and amens. I even became the youth leader, but I wasn't born again. I didn't really have an experience with Jesus. And God in his love, you know, brought it about the right way, you know, through the knee surgery, through other stuff, but 1969 is when it all came down. Anybody was alive in 1969? Yeah, Tom was. I know that. It was an awesome year. It was such a dramatic year. We did go to the moon, by the way. 1969, and Woodstock happened. I watched all the hippies go through my town on the way back from Woodstock. And the Mets won the World Series. It was a miracle year. It was an amazing year. But it was tough for me. I had my knee surgery, and I went through a lot of stuff. When I was suffering in the hospital that day, I heard a CCR. Does anybody know who CCR is? Creedence Clearwater Revival. Revival's in that name. And they had a song, and part of that song was about the fact that we know that heaven is here. Hope there ain't no hell, but only my dying will tell. And that was kind of my theme. But I got thinking about that. That's really too late. That's really too late to find out if you believe in heaven or hell. And so God was working on me like, you need to find out earlier. You do really do. So 1970, again, God didn't cause it. It was our stupidity that caused this. We decided to take a canoe down the Delaware River in the ice in April at Easter time in flood stage. What made it worse than that? We had no life preservers and coats and boots on. Again, is this stupidity or what? You can't blame God for any of that. So we're headed down, then sure enough, we hit this big wave, we capsized, I went under the water, and I thought that was it. Like, this is it. And all of a sudden, my Methodist thing came back to me. I'm a good Methodist. It's amazing what can happen in 3 seconds. I'm a good Methodist, I'm probably 80% good. But then the thought occurred to me, what if 85 is what you gotta go to get to heaven? 85%, maybe it's 87%, I don't know. What is the percentage? And when I came out of the water that day, I decided I gotta find out what percentage it is. I honestly do. And it was so strong in me that day that I said, I don't even think my church can tell me what it is. Because my pastor wasn't born again or anything. So anyways, I decided to go through the religions of the world to find out how you get there. And I tried Islam a little bit, and that's really tough. 5 times a day praying and fast for a month. And I said, man, this is really rough. And so then I, you know, Hinduism, 300 million gods, how do you choose? I don't know. And then Buddhism, get away from my desires, no desires. And then this guy asked me, isn't not wanting desires a desire? Ooh. Oh, man. And then I read this story about this monk that was up in the Himalayan caves for 20 years, and they asked him, do you know God? Still looking for him. And I said, well, I'm doing the same thing. I might as well not freeze to death and go up in the Himalayas and forget this. So basically, I had this list, and I checked off everything on the list. So in 1972, I'm depressed. I am depressed. I'm at the University of Maine. The snow is up to the roof. It's in the Arctic someplace. I'm homesick. I don't know what I want to do with my life, but in that desperation, I said, God, if you're real, show me who you are. Show me that you care. I was at that place, and guess what? He actually heard my prayer. And he actually began to answer it right away. Like this Jesus freak showed up in our hall, in our dorm. I don't know where he came from. But he's out preaching in the hallway every day. And I'm like, this guy's a hippie. I'm a hippie. But he knows Jesus. Maybe you can be a hippie and know Jesus. Like, it gave me hope. You know what I mean? Like, there's such a thing as a Jesus freak. And so that had a big, it gave me a little bit of hope, like, wow, maybe there's something here. That summer, I went home. I was a forester, loved trees. I hugged trees. I climbed trees. I climbed this big tree up in New Jersey, and I said, God, you know, if you're there, if you really love me, show me a sign. And a red-tailed hawk came and flew around my head and looked in my eye. And Jesus was saying, I love you. I see you. You're here. And you know, God's used that a lot with Native Americans as I share that story with that prophetic. And yesterday, there was an eagle that flew in front of our car. We had a close encounter. And the Lord was saying to me, I'm going to Ithaca this weekend. I'm going to be with you. There's going to be good stuff going on. And So God began to show himself to me in a very real way. And it was pretty interesting, really, how God brought it all together. And on Thanksgiving night, 1972, I got invited to a Catholic convent. It's amazing where you find God some places. I wasn't really thinking that wouldn't have been my first pick. But some friends invited me, and three nuns had gotten filled with the Holy Spirit. And they were alive with God. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I came in the door, and this nun came over with a big honking cross swinging back and forth. And she came over, and she hugs me. And I felt the goodness of God go all the way from my head, all the way to my feet. And that night, I gave my heart to Jesus. Yay! Woo. And I just found out he's better than I thought he was. You know, I thought he was, well, maybe he's a good guru, sort of like Hare Krishna or some of these other guys. But I found out he's actually God. And he actually created me. And he actually designed a blueprint for my life that was much better than what I could have come up with. Who would have thought? Never in my wildest dreams have I done the stuff that I ever thought that I would be doing. We're standing here today, or next month going to Israel and leading a Galilee tour. You know, things like this, just things that are beyond, you know, our imagination. I'm telling you today, believe for things above your thoughts, your imaginations, above what you can ask for, what you can think for, because God is that good in your life. Can give the Lord a hand. He is so good. Thank you, Lord. So here we are. I'm 70 years old. And as I look back over my life, I'm amazed at how God's goodness wove through my life, overcame every lie that I was believing, everything that Satan thought he had against me, and God just brought it and redeemed it and made me a winner instead of a loser. How many of you would rather be a winner than a loser? God does that for us, despite our own, you know, frailties and so on. When I was 8 years old, another dumb thing, you know, it's like the anointing of stupidity comes on your life sometime. But we as a neighborhood gang decided we would sled across the state highway. And great idea. But we were going to have people watching for cars. So that solved everything. So here I am. I'm coming down the hill, speeding away, and they're waving. But I thought they were saying cow, you know, cow, cow, cow. So I'm looking for cows. It's no cows. But all of a sudden, I do see a car headed exactly for my sled. And I see the rear tire, you know, headed right for my head. And in that microseconds, I turned the sled, and my head hit the rear bumper. And so I've calculated mathematically how much time there was there. And I just look back. That angel was really good. Because it just proved to me God's goodness was there. My grandmother at the time said, God's sparing you for a reason. And it was, because at 80 years old, I led her to Jesus Christ. There's just so many special things that God weaves into your life that proves his goodness to us. It's there every day if we open our eyes. God's goodness breaks out on our left and our right. If we have eyes to see. I'll give you one example that just happened last night. When I was 12 years old, my dad actually had a hunting camp in Spencer, New York. And him and his cousin built this hunting camp up there. And when I was 12 years old, we came up for the weekend and went hunting. And I was kind of, I didn't have a gun at the time, but I was kind of helping out. And I went through this open field, nobody else was around, and I walked through, and here's this 12-point buck laying down in the field right in front of me. I came upon it. He jumped up, and he stared at me like, what are you doing here, you know? And then he ran off, and of course, I had a hard time convincing him that this happened, but it really did happen. last night, went in the lodge near Spencer, New York, that we're staying, went in the main room, and here was like a 12-point buck, looked like the same one that I saw when I was 12 years old on the wall. And it was just, to me, it was like just a little kiss from the Lord. Like, I saw you when you were 12. I knew you were going to be here when you were 70. But God is like that. He's just amazing, isn't he? God has these little kisses that he just gives us every day to show us that he's good, to show us that he cares for every detail of our life. Don't ever think that he doesn't care about everything you're going through right now. Jesus, when he had his Sermon on the Mount, he said that. He said, don't I watch over the little sparrows? Don't I know every hair on your head? I can't keep count of them right now, you know, because I'm losing a few every day. So it's like the subtraction is getting to me here. But he knows every hair on your head. And he knows everything you're going through. And he loves it when we just call out to him and talk to him like a friend, because he is our friend. And he's got this amazing plan for 2025 for your life that is beyond your wildest dreams. And so I want to encourage you today, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just don't think about him or study in him, but drink of him. Another place it says in verse 5 there, gaze upon him, join your life. His truth and joy will come, and it says your face will glisten with glory. I still remember, again, think about the goodness and the plan of God here. I happened to be sitting right behind Linda the day she got saved. Had never met her. We were in college, went to this church, and her mom were sitting right in front of me, and this sermon came down and the altar call came down, you know, taste and see the Lord is good. And I see her get up and go down to the altar. And she's crying down at the altar, giving her life to Jesus. And when she came back to my seat, her face was glowing in the glory of God. I'll never forget that face. And I said to myself, I might have to get to know this girl. I think 6 months later, I finally worked up the courage to get to know her. But isn't that amazing? Of all the people to be sitting next to. So let's all stand together. I just want to challenge you with the goodness of God today. He's better than you think he is. And I love that song, Worthy is the Lamb, because he's so worthy. In that song, there's a line that says, he's the darling of heaven was crucified. I know in my life, whenever I'm going through some things and I'm doubting, is God really that good? I just have to think of that day that he hung on the cross for me. Because 2,000 years ago, he suffered so much and he had you on his mind. That 6 hours that he suffered there, I believe he saw all of our faces. And he counted, just like Abraham counted the stars, he was counting us that day. That's how I know God is good. If nothing else, if he never does anything for me again, the fact that he died for me, he gave me life, what a thing. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your goodness, how you love every detail of our life. And if there's someone here today that's not sure, they haven't really tasted, haven't really experienced that goodness, they've never asked Jesus into their life, God, let this be the day they taste and see that you are good. Praise and thanks, Lord. We thank you for this church. We thank you for all the good plans that you have for your people this year, how you want to bless them and bring them not just survival, but abundance to expand and to have the victory in every area of your life. I pray for marriages, finances, for careers, God, and for ministry this year, and that, Lord, truly they'll see that you are good. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.